Good evening. My name is Ken Helander. I'm the Advocacy Director at AARP Alaska. And we at AARP are the largest membership organization in the state with about 87,000 members. We are nonpartisan. We don't have a PAC. We don't endorse candidates. But we encourage voter engagement. So we are here tonight to serve the purpose of educating about issues, about who the candidates are and where they stand, and we're really glad that you are here to take part in this event. I also have the privilege to introduce the moderator for tonight's forum, and this is Rachel Greenberg, who has been for a long time the Deputy Director of MATSU Senior Services, in whose facility we are privileged to be tonight. And she soon or already have?
October 1st,
which is coming right up, will be the new executive director for MATSU Senior Services. A good choice. All right, Rachel, it's up to you. I'm going to be the timer.
Well, thank you. And I think they didn't trust us to get a lot of this, so we have mics. So I actually have a script, and I will do my best to follow it. So first of all, thank you, Ken, and welcome to everyone. This is for Assembly District 3, which I'm in this district, so I actually am really curious as to what you have to say. So in order of alphabetical order, I'm going to introduce the candidates. George McKee and Maria Serrano. And welcome. Glad to have you here. And we always like to show off our site. So to review the rules of the road, and like I said, I have this great script and I don't have a stand. Bummer. So for the opening statements, you'll have 2 minutes, and then after each subsequent question, you'll have 1 minute to answer. And what it's going to be is, with the timing, is Ken is going to show you the yellow sign when you've got 10 seconds left. And when you're done, it's going to be the red sign. And so with that, we can go ahead and get started. But as a reminder, before we move on, there are some question ballots or question things on the chairs. And so if you're interested in having your question read, just fill it out and then Mary Jo is going to be picking them up. And I apologize, Mary Jo. We've worked together on other groups, so I apologize about that. Just total mind, but I call it once. So right before this started, there was a coin toss, and Maria won the coin toss, so we will have Maria's opening statement first, followed by George. And again, this will be a two-minute opening statement. So Maria, 2 minutes.
My name is Maria Storm, like she said. I was born and raised here in the Valley. I attended local schools my whole life, both private and public. Public service is not a new thing to me. It's been something I've been doing my whole life, whether it was for my church or Family Promise, Teens for Healthy Relationships, Teens Against Tobacco Use, Youth Court, Peer Helpers, you name it, I was in it. I graduated early from Rochelle High School and attended Alaska Pacific University. Right now, I'm enrolled at MATSU College. For me, public service is important, and I think there's no better way to better your community than to serve it. It's something I'm very passionate about. As a daughter of a successful land developer and businessman since the 70s here in the Valley, I understand a strong business is important, and to ensure that is to have a nice local government to work with that. I can promise you that advocacy for youth is something that I'm very passionate about, as well as business incentives and the improvement of infrastructure here in the Valley. I want to see us thrive because this is some place that I really love and care about. And if this is where I want to raise my kids. So, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. And Mr. George McKee.
I've been in Alaska a little better than 40 years, I guess. I lived in Fairbanks for 25 years before the cold drove me out. I've been here 22 years. Same location, out on Snow Peak Road, which is just off Crane. My background is I was 25 years in labor relations, which may be the worst occupation in the world, by the way. After all, the employees, when they're in trouble, lie to you, the unions lie to you, and your management lies to you. After a while, everybody lies to you, right? You feel that way. So when we got ready to adopt children, and by the way, we couldn't have children, and I was 50 when we started, and I could not adopt in America at 50 years of age. So we ended up adopting two boys from El Salvador who were infants there, no longer infants, believe me, they're well over 200 pounds each one of them. But when we adopted, my wife said, look, your occupation has made you not a very nice person, right? Why don't you change occupations? So I became a horseshoer. I went to two technical horseshoeing schools. I grew up on ranches, and I shod horses for 12 years here in the valley until I had an accident 5 years ago that they said no human being could survive. But I'm here. But why did I want to run for office? Okay, that's like having somebody want to hit you with a board. I decided that, in fact, the state and local government are over time going to have to be sustainable financially, and I want to be a part of that.
Well, thank you, and welcome. So the first prepared question is on the budget. So budget pressures, as you know, are increasing both for the state and the borough, and for the cities, and for local nonprofits. Just have to add that in there. We will need to make some crucial decisions by trying to do more with less. How would you prioritize services you believe the borough should be providing? Since Maria was first to make the opening statement, we'll start the question with George.
Well, they have a process for this. Okay, it depends on how you're going to obtain the money. If you're going to obtain it through the state directly, the borough has absolutely nothing to do with it. Okay, the petition is to the borough, to the state, and the state does their own priority, and believe me, they don't listen very well to the local folks. Okay, so if indeed you're going to try to obtain the funds through the capital budget process with the borough, the borough has its own process to do that. They, in fact, have a committee in the assembly that prioritizes these things. So I would have to see, in fact, what came before that committee before I was even willing to try and prioritize it, because you have no idea what it's going to be at this time.
Thank you. Maria?
I believe a direct and healthy relationship with all politics is important with every government that you have. When it comes to prioritizing budgets, the thing that I'm really passionate about, of course, is schools. So, of course, that's something I really want to focus on, as well as schools with EMS, fire, things like that. I think are really important. I think you guys will be proof of that this summer. So I think when you really think about road services, things like that, things that we need as a civilized place here, that's where I want to keep my focus.
Well, thank you. So the next question is, for those services you believe should be provided, where should the money come from? Should it include new or increased taxes and fees? Maria, we'll start with you.
Well, I think it depends on where we're pulling from. I think in some avenues we can pull a little more from some places and from others, maybe not. I think it's easier once we can bring new business and new people into the valley. That way we can actually afford some of the essential things that we need. Infrastructure is lacking in the valley, and that's why we see such a struggle when it comes to money. So when we talk about where we want to pull money from, it comes down to getting business into the valley.
Well, thank you. George, same question.
Yes, the state is short about $4 billion right now. And that is going to slide downhill and will affect every local government, every borough. There's no question about it. Now, in trying to prioritize that right now, you have no idea of what the state is going to do or what their capital budget process is going to be. I think that over time, probably not this coming year, because you do have a national election coming up, and elected bodies become paralyzed during election years. I don't think you're going to have that much done. But I think over the next 3 years, you will see the revenue generated locally from people, either through some form of taxation, user fees, that kind of thing. But it will fall down on the citizens. That's no question about it.
Thank you. So we're going on with the prepared questions, and then after that I already have some audience questions. So the next issue, and I have to say I didn't create these questions, but this one's right up my alley. This is on housing and transportation. Alaska's senior population is increasing faster than any other state, and the Mat-Su borough population is increasing the fastest within the state, meaning the Mat-Su is the fastest aging places in the United States. In the middle of this silver tsunami, trying to find affordable senior housing is a challenge for low and middle-income seniors. Our transportation system should also meet the needs of this growing senior population. If elected, what solutions would you propose for housing and transportation? And since Maria started the first time, George, this question is for you.
At one time in the valley here, executive director at that time for the Valley Hospital was a fellow by the name of Jim Walsh, who was one of the most visionary people I've ever met in my life. And he, in fact, wanted to through that association, begin building senior citizen housing. Okay? And he had a very big plan. So I think that, in fact, Jim's idea was not all that bad. There is revenue generated by that. It is something a developer would do. Okay, it's not something that needs to be approached totally by government, but it would certainly have to be encouraged and enhanced by local government persuasion, I think. As far as transportation is concerned, first of all, our road system has to come up a little bit, and then you have to assess what you really need. You can't just have buses. Okay? You've got to know what your transportation requirements are going to be. Right now, I think we're fulfilling them. We probably won't in the future.
Thank you. Maria, same question?
Well, I think housing for senior citizens and proper transportation for them is imperative. I think it's really important to take care of those who took care of us at one point. So I believe definitely that it's something really important. It's something that we need to address. It's something that needs full attention and money, and it's something that I would love to provide for senior citizens. It's housing and transportation, those are just basic needs, and we need to provide those, and that's something that I fully believe in.
Well, thank you. So the next question is on health issues, and this is called a lightning round. So I'm going to give you the borough's top three health challenges as identified in the 2013 Mat-Su Community Health Needs Assessment. And so that says we'd like 15-second answers, but there's the top three, so you have a minute to address all three. Just to let everybody know, it's this assessment, so if you haven't had a chance to read it, that's what this is. So the top three are alcohol and substance abuse, domestic violence and sexual assault, and your views on smoke-free workplace.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
The third one, it was alcohol and substance abuse, domestic violence and sexual assault, and also what are your views on smoke-free workplace law? And so this time it will start with Maria.
Well, this is an issue that I think I'm pretty passionate about. Growing up in the valley, just out of the school system not too long ago, I saw firsthand some of the really tragic stories that you see. You see really talented kids, really amazing people who are just stuck in such a bad place. And the substance abuse in the valley is a problem. And it's a problem that we need to address, and it's something that we can't be blind to or just not think about anymore. It's important, and it's not good. When it comes to the next one was, I'm sorry.
Okay. Domestic violence and sexual assault.
Again, these are issues that you can't ignore, and these are issues that need to be faced. And as a community, you can point fingers all you want, but at the end of the day, you have to look at the community to help. At the end of the day, it takes a village to create a safe atmosphere for everybody. When it comes to smoke-free at the workplace, absolutely. I see there's no reason for endangering other people's lungs. I am an asthmatic, so I definitely do see that. Definitely the health issues in the Valley are real, and they're here, and it's something that I would love to focus on.
Sounds good. George?
I'm going to take the smoke-free first. And all, yes, all your places of employment, if they are governmental, should be smoke-free. If it's a private place like a bar, I don't believe in mandating that. That is something that the person who runs it, who owns it, who puts their money up, decides whether it's going to be smoke-free or not. If people don't like it, they don't have to work there. If people don't want to be exposed to smoke, they don't have to go in there. That's a personal choice by everybody in that instance. But in where people don't have a choice, in working in a place like this, for instance, no, it should be smoke-free. Okay? As far as drug addiction is concerned with the youth, I worked with drug addicts at one point. The government can say anything they want. You can't stop anybody from using drugs unless they want to. Okay? They have to step forward and say, I want to quit. And then you can help them, okay? And it doesn't take a big program to do it. You simply take them away from old acquaintances. You remove them from where they were before. You take them away from the same people that are using drugs. That's simple, okay? Sexual abuse, abuse of spouses and what have you. We have laws. We simply don't enforce them. Okay? The court system, by the way, does not enforce them uniformly across the way. One person gets a year, one person gets 6 months, another person gets nothing. Okay? Why not have a presumptive sentencing for sexual assault? 20 years. Try that.
Thank you. So now we're moving on to audience questions. And again, if you have any questions, please be sure to write it down and just raise it up, and then Mary Jo will come and pick it up. So I just open these in no particular order, and so they're in no particular order. So the first question, and this one is going to start with George and then follow up with Maria. Do you support resource development, including coal, in the Matsu Borough, along with the Knickarm Crossing and the rail extension at the port? George.
Yes, if we could sell the coal. Right now, there's a minor problem worldwide. I don't know if you folks know it. Usabelli Coal has not sold one lump of coal for 2 years overseas. Okay? The standards have changed over there. We can dig up all the coal we want, and if we can't sell it, why dig it up, okay? But if we can sell it, sure, we ought to develop that resource for it.
Thank you. Maria, same question?
At the right place, absolutely. I think the railroad extension is a great idea. We have a lot of resources out there that have potential for a lot of revenue. It just had to be the right place. Like I said, I'm an asthmatic. It's a potential health hazard in some places, I understand. So it would just have to be in the right place to do something.
Thank you. So the next question is also for both of you, and this time Maria will start, and then George. So what is your view on current legislation? And I'm hopefully going to get this right. So whoever answered this question or asked this question, I apologize if I get it wrong. It's ORD SN 15-098, and how it affects underage smoking, underage raping. How might you change it? Or vaping? Is it vaping? Sorry, vaping.
I'm sorry, I don't know what that question is.
What is your view on current legislation 15-098, and how it affects underage smoking, underage vaping, and how might you change it?
I'm assuming this is the electronic cigarette thing they're talking about.
I would assume that. Okay, so the question actually goes to Maria first.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's it. Again, government is looking at local governments as an additional tax source, okay? So they're actually not going to oppose it all that much. It is nicotine. If you're opposed to nicotine, you've got to be opposed to that.
Thank you. And Maria, I'm going to have you go twice. First, twice.
Okay.
So questions for you.
Well, underage smoking and vaping, anything that has nicotine like that, it's extremely harmful, and it's not good for our youth to get addicted to. We don't want to be paying for medical bills from kids who are getting addicted at a young age. It's extremely harmful, and you just don't want to see that in your community. So I would say just more education on this, just a lot more resources available to the young kids is important. Like I said, in high school, I was a part of the Teens Against Tobacco Use, so this is something that, you know, I dealt with when I was in high school, so I see there are ways to do it.
Thank you. So the next question, and again, we'll start with Maria. Do you support resource extraction taxes?
Yes, and that is because when businesses come out here, they should be expected to put some, you know, money in the game. They have to be here to play the game. You have to be able to pay us back for using our resources. So absolutely.
Thank you. George?
Yes.
That was easy. Next question. Do you support the Kinnickarm Crossing Bridge? And I think you both already answered this, but we'll go ahead and, since it was one, we're going to start with Maria.
We didn't answer that, though.
Okay. Do you support the Kinnickarm Crossing Bridge?
In due time, if we find the money and if we see it's appropriate, then absolutely. Right now, I don't see it as a short-term goal. Long-term, absolutely.
Thank you. George?
We should have another alternative route out of Anchorage. There is absolutely no question about it. And there's also no question about the fact that the logical route is the one that they have laid out. However, having said that, remember that that route crosses directly over the Yakutaga earthquake fault, which happens to be the most active earthquake fault on the North American continent. It has a quiver every 5 seconds. That also was the fault that dropped Anchorage into, in 1964 into the bay there. Okay? So that's one. And the other is, because of the price of oil going down, our bond rating has shifted from stable to negative. We're not going to build a bridge across there unless we can sell bonds. Okay? That just happens to be that.
Thank you. And so, George, you're going to start the next question.
Okay.
So this is, why should we vote for you instead of your opponent?
Okay. I'm going to answer this a different way, okay? You know, I've been a real proponent for young people getting into politics. I just wish you'd have gone into it next time. And I think I've answered that question. Okay?
Thank you. Yeah. Same question for you. Why should we vote for you instead of your opponent?
Well, I just think for me, this is something I'm really passionate about. It's something that I want to dedicate my life to. I'm studying law right now. It's you know, I've always been interested in politics. I've always been really concerned and wanted to do something bigger than myself. It's something that I really care about. I have a curiosity and I have the work ethic to do this, and I feel like it's something that I really want to do and that I could be trusted doing.
Well, thank you. So this next question is going to go for to you, Maria, and then we'll do a follow-up. So this is actually it on this form, it asked just to go to you, but... So I hope I can get this right. So would you have signed the letter for Medicaid expansion even though the constituents for all the Valley representatives and senators said no? Who do you work for? For the DNC or the voters?
I definitely would vote for the expansion of Medicaid. It's important to me. I feel that there was a disconnect in the Valley politics with that, but that has no impact on how my views are and how they won't change on that. It's important to me, and so absolutely, I stand with Walker.
Thank you. Did you want to go ahead and do a follow-up with that, George?
Sure. I oppose the expansion at this time for several reasons. First of all, it regulates those people that are on Medicare below the people who are on Medicaid. that says a 19-year-old or 65-year-old gets Medicare, gets treatment before a person who is 70. That's wrong, okay? And that's the way it reads right now, okay? The other is, I oppose it because our system is so flawed that they were unable to do an audit on it. They have found $50 million. They just can't find $100 million somewhere out there that's been lost in the system. What, we're going to expand the system. That way, we can try to lose a billion, right?
Thank you. So this next question, George, you have the opportunity to answer first, and then Maria second. So what would you do to build the EMS system?
We have probably the best EMS system right now in the West Coast. I don't know what we would want to, and what we could do to improve it. We have the best equipment. We have the required training. We have everything. What would we do?
Thank you. Maria?
Well, I have a friend, actually, and my brother, who actually went toward the EMS path, one of which who is working right now in the EMS field. What is concerning to me is I feel that they definitely should be paid more for the work they do. They save lives every day. They put themselves on the line. And that is something that does not have a price, and we put too low of one on thus far. When besides that, we do have wonderful facilities. Matsu College has a great program for that, and EMS is great. They deserve all the credit they get.
Thank you. So this next question, we'll start with Maria, and then George. So what are your views on health effects of vaping, including secondhand effects and gateway effects? Maria.
Well, vape smoke, it's a fad. Of some sort, because they wanted to make it different from cigarettes, when in fact it's not. It's the same thing, and we need to make that distinction. I feel it is extremely harmful and dangerous. You're going, it's nicotine, you're getting addicted, it's not healthy for you, it's not good for other people to inhale either. It's just dangerous. It's not a thing that we should be promoting or happy about just because it's not a lit cigarette. It's the same thing.
Thank you. George?
I don't like secondhand smoke, but in fact, interesting enough, the scientific evidence is not totally conclusive that secondhand smoke is detrimental to the human body. Okay? It's not. I would like to give you an example of what I'm talking about. If I ask you folks where the oldest population of people in the United States is, you would not know. It's in Colorado. They have more people over 100 years old than any other place in the United States. 80% of those people smoke and have a glass of whiskey every day.
Interesting. So this next question is targeted for George, and then Maria, I'll give you an opportunity to follow up. So what is your opinion of organized labor and people's right to organize via unions?
Well, people have the legal right.